So good morning again.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Sedona Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Anthony Umtuaswad Johnson, and it is such a pleasure and an honor to be able to share this space with you. I welcome you in the name of the ancestors upon whose shoulders I stand, and know that I welcome you as always in the name of all that is holy and sacred for you. For me, it's best summed up in the words we've adapted from our UU congregation in Dublin, Ireland. They sum up where we're coming from, I offer. And that is that, you see, in this space, we do not ask what you believe. We do not expect you to think the way that we do. We do ask, however, that you try to live a kind and a helpful life with the dignity proper to that of a human being. So welcome all who believe that religion is wider than any sect and deeper, dare I say, much deeper than any set of opinions, including my own. Welcome. In this space, we say there's some things we like to be about, things we'd like to happen here. One, friendship. What's the second one?
Strength.
Friendship, strength, and what's that last one? Encouragement for daily living. Things you can use in your life. Otherwise, we say that in another way. Another way. Otherwise, it don't mean a thing.
If it ain't got that swing.
If it ain't got that swing. That's the swing. Oh, y'all made my day. I could almost sit down now, but Tanya, do y'all pay me too much money to do that, so I'll keep going. Today's sermon is, as I mentioned, entitled The Power of Story. I'll tell you a story. Once upon a time, in a land of asphalt, not too far away, I thought I was too sinister to be a minister. I know I ate way too much ham to be an imam. I was always too full of yeast to be a priest, and yet too frail to find that holy grail. That's what I told myself, for myself, all by myself. Then, as the story goes, I was sitting in my living room when we lived out in Cottonwood, Cornville, watching the sun set in the Mingus Mountains, and I heard a voice. It was Jimi Hendrix. And he said, yeah, oh, y'all know him, huh? And what Jimmy said to me was, psst, psst, no reason to get excited. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that. This is not our fate. I suggest you stop talking falsely now. The hour's getting late. Then I said, okay, no matter what time it is, the Creator, I know the Creator got many, many names, universe, God, Isis, Jesus, Moses, Buddha, Allah, Krishna, Wakantanka, Ola Rune Jinyami, Yahweh, my way, your way, anyway. I say, call him, her, it, what you will. Peace be still. So which story do you believe in, if any? Because I'm open to the non-believers too. You know, all beliefs, non-beliefs, welcome here. There's so many though. But I offer that they pay acknowledgement to the power of story. Oh, the power of story. Not the power of a story. The power of story. You see, story has a power unto itself. It is magical. You see, I believe story contains what the great poet and president of a country, Leopold Senghor, said about poetry and about all art. You see, art is animated by the invisible force that rules the universe. That's why art does to you what it does to you, whether it's a painting or it's music or art. That invisible force that rules the universe. You see, stories give our lives meaning and color and dimension. Stories, and they give us a place. They may even make and sometimes dictate how you live your life based on a story you've been told. Ooh, anybody here hasn't felt stuck in a story? Maybe even being controlled by a story? Sometimes even hopeless about how your story is going to quote unquote end up. So it may be fair to say that our stories can write us as much as we write them. I think about now our current, what I call our time of tumult, of struggles for economic, racial, and social justice. You know, that economic story always intrigued me, where the they sell that income gap as something, it's the result of complex global dynamics over which we have no control. That's the story. Same can be said about the story of race. In our country, it's too often told with either an ingrained storyline or a story of celebration about having come so far. I believe that the aim of these cultural stories is the same. It has one goal: freeze in action. Don't do nothing. They undermine action. And worse, they undermine our belief that our actions can actually change things. So, I say it's time we tell a new story. How about that? Yeah. How about a story of engagement, of getting proximate, getting close to whatever it is that moves you or you're concerned about? That is, being a part of the story. Not separate from the story, a part of the story. I believe it's the message of our faith. We do have a choice, it tells us simply, that our stories are not predetermined. Mm-mm. We don't go there. We don't believe that. Remember the old theological story for which our UU forebears got burned at the stake? Think you got a problem because somebody said something in the food line about that in Safeway, you got upset. How about get burned at the stake because you said you don't believe that story? All around, people were saying that God had predestined not just the big story of humanity, oh no, but your individual story too. Supposedly, some of us were promised, and some of us were doomed. Spot in heaven reserved. Rest of us headed straight to hell. And that God himself had written the list in indelible ink. And I got to digress. Speaking of heaven and hell, I got to tell another story. When I was in Mississippi in 2012, it was the first time I ever heard of UU or UU. Well, I'm going to make this a short with digress, though. But I met some people there. Lydia and I went to a place called Our Home Universalist Unitarian Church. Little old block building there in a place called Ellisville, Mississippi. And I turned to Lydia and it was kind of like today. I said, Lydia, it's all white people in here. And then I said, old ass white people too. Ain't nothing like the truth, Ruth. And then I went and met the people, and my tapes, my Chicago tapes of all white folks is playing. Then I met the people, and it was like butter.
See, there's a story we tell ourselves. The story met the reality. And they turned to me and said, and I got to do it like they did me. They said, welcome. Oh, it's so welcoming. And they said, they call us no hellers because we don't believe in hell. And I said, wow, cool, check. And we don't have a Bible. I said, oh, double check. And then they said, and these are our principles. And I looked at it and I said, no. Those are my principles. And the rest is UU history for my. So where was I? We don't believe in hell, they said. So again, that was the beginning of my UU story. But our UU spiritual ancestors and the indigenous ancestors, indigenous folk all over the planet, for millennia have offered us and authored a different story. Tain't nothing new, a different story. You see, the divine is not so much the author of the story, as she is the magical muse that sings and shouts and whispers to us to put your own stamp on the story. Your stamp on the story. Tell you another story. See if y'all know this, who this young lady is in this story. Once upon a time, there was a group of young folk standing in front of a perfume shop. They were looking in the window of the perfume shop. And there was a jar there, and it said, Freckle Salve. And next to the jar was a sign that said, Do you suffer from freckles? And what does the sign, young lady walked up to the window and said, What does the sign say, Pippi? Pippi who? Look at y'all. I love y'all. What does the sign say? Asked Pippi. She couldn't quite read it very well. Her eyesight was like mine. Gotta really get down. She didn't want to know. She didn't want to go to school like other children did, by the way. Old Pippi had. The sign says, Do you suffer from freckles? Her friend Annika told her. That's what it says, Pippi. Does it indeed, Pippi says. Well, that's a civil question. It deserves a civil answer. Let's go in. Pippi grabbed Annika and they went into the perfume shop. She opened the door, entered the shop. Her and Annika both, an elderly lady was standing there at the counter. Pippi went right up to the lady and said, No. Lady looked at her and said, What? She said, No. I said, Wait a minute. I don't understand what you mean, said the lady. Pippi said, No. I don't suffer from freckles. Then the lady understood. But she took one look at Pippi and blurted out, But my dear child, your whole face is covered with freckles. I know that, said Pippi, but I don't suffer from freckles. Huh. She told another story. I don't suffer from freckles, said Pippi. I love them. Have a nice day. She walked on out that shop. Oh, but then she stopped. But she got, Let me turn around, she said. Turned to the lady and said, But if you should ever get in any salve that gives people more freckles, I'll order 7 or 8 jars of that. So what's the moral of the story, y'all? Put your own stamp on the story.
put your own stamp on the story. One last story. Once upon a time, I was a Viking. I was a young man, young boy, really a boyhood hero story, and I loved the Vikings. I don't know if y'all, how many of y'all know the original movie, Ernest Borgnine and Kurt, what's his name? Kurt, thank you very much. Kurt Douglas, shoot. Woo! I was a Viking. Now, there's a scene in the movie I want to share that still claims a, dare I say, a throne position in my mind's eye. It involves the character of the king played by Ernest Borgnine. Yeah. He's about to be slain by his enemies. They have him walking a plank. Boom. They have him walking a plank. And down below the king is a hungry, starving pit of wolves waiting to have some lunch. Like I was waiting to have lunch. The king says, I have but one last request. May I die with a sword in my hand. So they say, okay, king. So they, his hands are tied, and they give, they place the sword in the king's hand, and it's a part of life. He voluntarily leaps into the pit, calling out the name of his creator. You know what the Vikings call their god? Anybody remember?
Odin!
Odin! Man, from the time I was 8 years old to 10, guess what my god's name was? Odin! Odin! That's the power of a story. And I still kind of like that motto today, because when I die, I'm going to die with my sword in my hand. I did that for when I faced my own inner city enemies, if you will. I said, I'm going to die with the sword in my hand. So I wondered also where the African gods were I never heard of, which I know now, like Chango, the god of thunder, Ogun, the Yoruba god of iron, or Oshun, the beautiful river goddess of love. You know, when you hear these names and you hear these gods and goddesses in the African context, I want you to think energy. Mm-hmm. They are symbols of energy. You see, my ancestral stories, like the native people of our country, were never, ever told. Because we were not people, we were savages, and some of us were property. We didn't have stories. That was how the story was told and believed then, and dare I say, to some extent to this very day. So I ask myself, my friends, are you an actor conforming to the scripts handed down to you? How do we regain control of our own storyline? How are you and your friends working to regain control of the storyline of our community, of our country, or maybe taking back control? It's not your task right now. I understand. Maybe your spiritual work is instead about finding a new storyline. Or maybe it's about retirement, or divorce, or illness, or the empty nest. It's all good. The book on one story is inviting you to leap. Remember that leap? To leap into a story. A whole new story. I hope that leaves you excited about what's to come. Whatever it is and wherever you are, do not ever give your storyline away. Embrace something new about your story. About our story. Remember always to put your stamp on the story. All the stories that are before you. So I bless the power of story. I bless the power of my story. And I bless the power of your story. Bless the power of story. May it be so. Amen. Blessed be. Ashe.